Well, hi, you all out there. It's so wonderful to be speaking to you again on this website. I'm so very happy that you have proceeded this far. And let me tell you, as good as the journey has been so far into this adventure with the Word of God, it just gets better. It just gets better. Last module, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And we saw that the fruit of the Spirit would help you to draw closer to God. That as you take step to live in the fruit of the Spirit, to memorize them, try to live them, try to improve in the different parts of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, nine parts. As you try to do that, it brings you into alignment with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, and the glory, the power, the anointing of God inside you can flow out through this alignment of you to heal your body, change your life, change your finances. It's God ministering to you from the inside out, changing you from the inside out. You and I, our change started on the inside, the spirit man. We were born again into the family of God. And then God wants our heart, our spiritual heart, to change in our soul, in our mind, in our bodies. And 3 John, verse 2, puts it very well. Prosper financially, prosper, and be in health, even as your soul prospers from the inside out. Soul, physical health, financial health. Prosper and be healed, even as your soul prospers. So, focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, as we did in the last module, is talking about the anointing flowing out from the inside. The anointing, the power of God, the manifested power of God for a purpose. Tonight, module 19, we begin with an introduction to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned in the last one or two modules, it's really wise as we proceed further into the Word to be sure you have your outline and to follow along. We would recommend you take everything in the outline and check it after the service. Jesus said, if the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. We should believe no person because of what the person is saying. We should believe the Word of God. If the person is speaking the Word of God, we verify that it is the Word of God, and then we believe it. But we don't believe it because we like them, because they're nice people, because they're very wise in many ways. We believe it because it is the Word of God. So tonight, we start looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here, we're looking at the flow of the anointing on the outside. The Spirit of God is upon you. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. Samson had the Spirit of God upon him and did incredible feats, but he was not born again, couldn't be, because Jesus had not yet died and been resurrected. But the Spirit of God was upon him for a period of time. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than the Spirit of God resting upon a person for a while. Let's take a look, for example, at our foundational scripture. It's from John chapter 1, verse 33. This is John the Baptist talking about seeing Jesus, that God had sent him, and that God told him how to recognize the Messiah. John 1, 33. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, Father God sent John the Baptist to baptize in water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, descending, as the Spirit did on Samson, as the Spirit does on many believers today. But here's the key. Descending and remaining descending and remaining on him. The same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So John is saying, I know the Messiah because I saw him baptized. I baptized him, and the Spirit of God came down upon him and remained upon him. And he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. Came to baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. And so tonight we're talking about Jesus being the baptizer and the Holy Ghost. Many Christians believe that once they're born again, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. As we look at the scriptures, you'll see that's not accurate. Many Christians believe if they're water baptized, born again and water baptized, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we'll see in the scriptures that it's not accurate. What we want is the accurate Word of God. Even though it goes against what we may have believed for years or decades, or some of us seem like centuries. Yeah, no, we want to believe the Word of God. We don't want to believe any authority but the Word of God. So, let's look at an overview here. The apostles received the new birth, that is, they were born again. We're going to look at that. We see the apostles received the promise for the Holy Ghost and of power. Holy Ghost and power, they go together. Holy Ghost and power. Holy Ghost and power, they go together like horse and carriage. Well, whatever. Okay. Then we'll look at the day of Pentecost to see how it all ties together. So let's read some scriptures here. If you have your Bible, just follow along. Otherwise, you can follow along with the outline. These scriptures are in the outline. John 20:21. This is after Jesus has been resurrected and his first appearance to the apostles as a group. They were behind closed door, hiding. Okay? I stress that because you're going to see the vast difference in them after they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. No, that's not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. No, it's the day of Pentecost, the day of the starting of the church. The apostles believed in Jesus, but could not be born again until Jesus had risen from the dead. After Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven, and his blood, shed blood, covered the mercy seat, then they could be born again. Then their sins were remitted. And then Jesus came down, spoke to them, breathed them, and said, receive the Holy Ghost. At that point in time, they were born again. If you believe that the church is the coming together of a number of born-again believers, then this is the beginning of the church. To me, the church is not simply the coming together of believers, it's the coming together of born-again believers. So for me, this is the first time we have born-again believers together. That's the beginning of the church. But the church believed, but stayed in hiding for a season. The apostles received the promise of the Holy Spirit and of power. In Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, given power from on high. So he's saying, I'm sending the promise of my Father, promise of the Holy Spirit, of the Comforter. When Jesus was leaving, he made it very clear that it's better that he leave them after being with them for 3.5 years. He's saying, it's better that I leave you and go away. For if I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit won't come. And he's a Comforter. He'll teach you and he'll guide you. He'll show you things to come. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit with you is better than Jesus being with you. So, when the apostles received the Spirit, they were born again. Spirit of God came to live inside them, and the Holy Spirit will never leave them nor forsake them. But the promise of power through the Holy Spirit was yet to come. Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus speaking to them here, and from the account in the book of Acts, this is the last thing he said before he went up, back up into heaven. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. This he's saying to people who have been hiding for 40 days waiting for the day of Pentecost. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that calling applies to the apostles and all who believe on Jesus through their words. And today we see the gospel all over the world. Acts 1 verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of sight. The last thing he said before he finally went up. That must have been a very powerful thing for him to say. And sure it was. He had warned them, it's better for the Holy Spirit to be with you because I'm leaving you. And it's better for him to be with you. Because with the Holy Spirit on them, they receive power. And they receive the boldness of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom. And they receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. So we look at the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see back in John 20, they were born again, they had received the Holy Ghost, but now the Spirit of God is upon them. Now we're not talking about the fruit of the Spirit who lives in us, and the anointing that comes from the inside out to change us from the inside out. We're talking about the Spirit of God upon us, the power upon us to minister, to display signs and wonders, to do miraculous things, and to change the world. I mean, I for one never really believed in miracles, never really thought much about it, never really saw one until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. No, point of fact, I was so ignorant and oblivious that I lived through a miracle myself and did not even recognize it as the hand of God upon my life. And it was when I was a young boy, I was maybe, I don't know, 13, maybe, and I used to ride a bicycle to school, and I used to like to ride really fast, and at the time I'm going to school, traffic is very heavy. So I would have to often dart between cars and buses and so forth. And I'm going really fast because for some reason I usually am running behind time. And I didn't like to be late for school. So I'm going as fast as I can on this really, really busy highway. And there's a bus that was picking up passengers. And it was closing to take off, but for some reason, he didn't take off as rapidly as I thought. And there's a line of cars right next to him. And there's not much space except between the car and the bus. And it wasn't big enough for a bicycle. I tried. So I went through it, and the handle couldn't quite make it. I hit the handle on the side of the bus. I hit it with my shoulder. I bounced to the car and bounced back towards the bus and somewhat under the bus, just as the bus moved off. And I'm kind of blurry as to exactly what happened, but more or less, I recall what happened thereafter, somebody, I have no idea, took me to the hospital. And I remember they ran a bunch of tests, and I was there for a while, and finally the doctor came out and talked to me. He says, did you know what happened? I said, yeah, I hit the bus and a car. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, I know that. I said, I don't know anything else. He says, well, the bus ran over your arm. I said, really? He said, yeah, look at this. He took my arm, and right above the elbow, you could see the thread of the wheel in it. There was no bruising. There was no blood. There was no shattered bone. There's nothing but thread marks on it. And he was amazed and baffled. Rightly so. Me, I was so oblivious. I said, well, is it okay? He said, yeah, it's okay. That's what's amazing. I said, does that mean that I can go to school now? He said, yeah. So I took off and went to school. Those marks were there for like 20, 30 years. I mean, they're always fading, but until maybe 30 years had gone by, there was always a mark there. I never thought it was a miracle. It's only after the Spirit of God came up in me that I started to look for miracles. I started to understand. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're Christians, followers of Christ. We're supposed to live as He did. And He lived and worked mighty miracles. And He said, and the works that I do, you will do and mightier works, because I go to the Father. And the beginning of those mightier works is to be baptized in the Spirit of God. For Jesus came to baptize in fire, and He came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. So, cloven tongues fell on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they went out immediately, praying in tongues, talking in tongues, and turned the city into, confusion everywhere. The people couldn't believe it. Here are all these people. It says all the people from all over, from many, many different countries, were all there, and all of them heard the apostles speaking in their own native language. That's tongues. That's the gift of tongues, where your tongues are another language that you don't know. That's one of the seven types of tongues. We will look in a module in the future at the different types of tongues. But here we're seeing one specifically. They're speaking in tongues with a language that's unknown to them, but known to the hearer. I've done that in a prophecy, which I didn't really count as speaking in tongues, but it's a Spanish prophecy in Spanish, which brought a Spanish lady to tears because apparently it was addressed to her. And but I've had conversational tongues with a person in Greek and a person in Russian for 15, 20 minutes. We sat chatting. So there are seven different reasons for tongues. And probably the most powerful is, it's the only place in the scriptures where it tells you how to strengthen yourself, how to build yourself up. You build yourself up when you're speaking in an unknown tongue. And we look at that in the future. So, why should you receive the Holy Spirit over and beyond all the things I've mentioned so far? Well, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now He commissions them to go out to preach the gospel and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus has received the power. He is sending them with that power. And we see in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So God gave him the power so it could be passed on to the church, so we could minister. I mean, yes, God gave him the power because all power comes from God, but Jesus really got the power by defeating Satan. He defeated Satan and got back the power that God had given to mankind in the very beginning when He gave it to mankind through Adam. So yes, it's coming from God, but it took a detour from God to man, Adam, from Adam to Satan, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, called Satan the god of this world. When Jesus came and defeated that ungodly god of this world and the power and all belongs to Jesus. And he's sending us, you and me, the church. Acts 10:38, oh God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. That one scripture tells you a lot, that sickness and disease is an oppression of the enemy. And the anointing of God in you gives you the power to destroy sickness and disease. Every Christian should partake of the power in them and the power on them to walk in health and to give health and healing to those around them. It's a natural birthright for a Christian, and healing is the children's bread. But for me, the biggest reason for doing it is Jesus is our example, and he did it. In Luke 3, verses 16 through chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus was baptized in water, Spirit of God came down on him. And then in Luke 4, verse 1, and then Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, went out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Okay? So, notice the ministry of Jesus never started. Never started. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God coming down on him and remaining in him. Remaining in him. And that's what you and I want. We want the Spirit of God to remain on us at all times. And the Spirit of God will remain in us as we continue to want it, as we continue to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, as we continue to do our best to avoid sins. The Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. A dove lifts off very easily. Sin will cause the anointing in you to fade, leave for a season. So we desire to walk in holiness, so the Spirit of God is always upon us, for Jesus is our example. So who should receive the Holy Spirit? John 7, 37 through 39. On that late and that last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. And this referenced the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. It's a scripture you really want to study. We have now 8.5 years of schools, formal schooling. Not lessons, the teaching, but formal schools. We have a Bible college. We have a healing school. We have a school of dominion. We have a school in the book of Revelation. Except for the Bible college, which is 1 year, and except for the first semester of the healing school, the healing school is 1.5 years, except for the first semester of the healing school, all the prayers from then on are all based on the fact that people are filled with the Holy Spirit because of the power that's needed in those prayers and the things that God has called us to do. I was very blessed in that I was filled with the Holy Spirit shortly after getting saved. I heard a teaching on it, I read about it, I looked up the scriptures, and then I simply asked the God, I said, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I did what we're going to talk about here in a little while. I received it by faith. By faith, I started making sounds. All by myself. I started making sounds. I got 7 words. I kept saying them over and over, over and over. For a month, I got 7 words. I said 7 words over and over. But after a month, it started to flow. And hasn't stopped flowing. It will never stop flowing. The anointing came. It comes out of me fluently. I speak. As I said before, I've spoken in different known languages. But in diverse tongues, I've spoken in different kinds of tongues. And you can hear from the tongues that they're different dialects, different, you know, languages. I pray in tongues a lot. And I started praying in tongues I must have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit in the first few weeks that I was saved, after I was saved. And then I started ministering. Didn't know much, but I did know Mark 11:24, which we've covered. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive at the point in time when you pray. If you believe it's done, it will show up in the future. If you don't believe it's done, you're going to cancel your prayers with your words or with your unbelief. You believe it's done. Because Mark 11:24 says, at the point in time when you pray, you believe it's done. So I started doing that, and then praying in tongues. And miracles started happening around me. This is well over 40 years ago. And miracles started happening all around me. So I started writing, you know, like a page in each miracle. And there were so many that I couldn't do a page. So I shrunk it to half a page and then a quarter page. Eventually, I put one line. And I continued just putting one line for each miracle that I saw. And when I hit 1,000 miracles, I said, that's it. I haven't recorded any more miracles since then. Except for specific occasions for use of church. I hit 1,000 miracles in 9 months. 9 months after I got saved, I had 1,000 recorded miracles. I attribute that to praying in tongues a lot, and that I was so grateful to be saved because I was heading for hell. My first mentor was a bishop, and he said, I was a spiritual son. He said, my son was heading to hell in fine style. Yeah, I had the kind of life most people dream about having in the secular way. And when I got saved, God had me turn my back on all that. Closed my company down. Turned my back on the whole thing. I was sold out to God, and I still am. People say, oh, I'll give you a while, you're going to calm down. Listen, I'm more on fire for God now than I was when I first got saved. Okay? It's a wonderful way to live, serving God. And you help people. We have miracle testimony coming back all the time. All the time. It's just wonderful to see all the people get healed and the financial miracles and all the things that happen. Please, do yourself a favor. Make me happy. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit and start counting how many miracles you see. Because you'll see them. Expect them and they'll come. God did not go to all the effort. I don't know if it took any effort for God's part. I mean, God can do anything. But God put himself inside you and inside me. God, who created everything, all the power of God is inside you and me. You think he put all the power inside you and me so we could be bumps on a log? No, no, no. He wants us to use it to help people, to change the world, get them born again, and get them to draw closer to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That's what it's all about. The power in you is to draw people to the Father through Jesus the Son, as you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? You can say amen for that. Go ahead. Yeah, say it. You'll like it. Yeah. Right. Amen. Okay. So, who should receive the Holy Spirit? We see in John 7:37-39, whosoever believe in me. If you believe in him, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Who? Whosoever believes in him. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Flowing out as tongues, flowing out as anointing and power. You believe in him. Go study John 7:37-39. Powerful scriptures. Acts 19:2-6. Paul came down, having separated from Apollos. He comes down, and he finds some believers. And he's talking to them, and he says, after he listened to them, he said, so, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we've never even heard of a Holy Ghost. So that told Paul something immediately. It told them they weren't baptized according to the directions of Jesus. So he said to them, so how were you baptized? Said, we're baptized according to John. And Paul said, well, yes, John baptized unto repentance. But the baptism of Jesus is different. So he said, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands on them, and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. So I would urge you to read that one also, slowly, carefully, in your own Bible, in your own version. You'll see, first of all, one is they were believers. Two, they were baptized in John's baptism to repentance. But then they were not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they then become filled with the Holy Spirit when Paul prayed for them, lays his hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How did they know? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. So you can see here believers who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. There are other examples. Here are believers who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:12-16. Philip is there ministering, and the people believed, and so they were all baptized according to the direction of Jesus. Baptized in the name of Jesus, which means according to his direction, according to the way that Jesus wanted it done. Picking up in Acts verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. When they came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw this, that through the laying of their hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And, of course, they got very upset. Okay? So, the Holy Ghost fell on them when hands were laid on them. And they saw that they had received the Holy Ghost. How did they see it? It doesn't say here how they know, but the most common characteristic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. So we can assume, based on other scriptures, that they were praying in tongues. So we see that they were water baptized, but did not receive the Spirit until hands were laid on them for the Spirit. So, summarizing, everybody should receive the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and not have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be water baptized and not have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Part C, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? You receive the Holy Spirit, frankly, the way you receive anything from God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you receive from God by faith. And the faith is applying to a promise of God. Exactly the same way. There's a promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You apply the promise with faith, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And the faith that you have when you receive the Holy Spirit after you ask is a faith to open your mouth and let sounds come out, and trust that the sounds are coming from the Holy Spirit. It really is that simple. We'll talk more about it in the future, but just so you have an understanding here. So, Luke 11:9-13, Jesus is saying the following. Luke 11:9-13. He says, if you ask, it shall be given. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it shall be opened. That's three ways he's saying the same thing. He goes on. For everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. And for everyone that knocks, it's open. That's no six times. He's saying the same thing. He says, if a son should ask any of you who's a father for bread, would you give him a stone? That's seven. If you should ask for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you should ask for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? That's nine times he's saying the same thing. What is he saying? Next verse. So if you being carnal know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? And that's the process of receiving. You ask, you believe, you receive. You believe you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You believe with scriptures say more than anything else, what they did when they are filled with the Holy Spirit is they pray in tongues. So you open your mouth as a step of faith, and you start to hear sounds coming out, and you have faith to believe the Spirit of God is going to guide those sounds. And if you have that faith, for me, it took me a month. Many people have it miraculously, instantaneously. They open their mouth, they start to speak, and torrents flood out. Torrents just flood out of them. My wife and I, one Thanksgiving, left where we were having the Thanksgiving dinner to go minister to a family for maybe, we thought, an hour, and then get back to our Thanksgiving dinner. And one thing led to another. We got this family, husband and wife and four kids, a sister and her kids. We got them all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all started gushing. And they gushed and gushed, and torrents just came out. They prayed in tongues. The end result was my wife and I totally missed the family Thanksgiving dinner. We totally missed the Thanksgiving dinner. All those kids grew up and went to Bible college. Went to a Christian university, a well-known Christian university. So to us it was worth it. But we certainly missed our Thanksgiving dinner that year. Acts 8, 17 through 18. We saw that before. That one common way is with the laying of hands, they receive the Holy Spirit. We also saw that in Acts 19, 6, that when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And in both cases, well, in the second case, they prayed in tongues. So how do you know when you've received the Holy Spirit? How do you know when you've received the Holy Spirit? We kind of just covered it. Acts 2, 4, another place. They spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit. And there's a footnote which explains what I just said, what I've been saying, about having the faith to open up and start speaking and trusting the Holy Spirit to guide it, and that it will come. It may come rapidly, it may take a while. Acts 10, verses 45 to 46. They knew they were filled because they heard them speaking in tongues. Acts 3, verse 6. Here's one of the wonderful reasons why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Boldness. Boldness to preach the gospel. I was ministering to a man a few days ago in a different country. And, he was doing his affirmations. We taught how to do affirmations, declaring the word of God over yourself. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So he was doing it. But his family wasn't saved, and he said, I don't really want to do it around them, because when they come in, I shut up. I said, it's the same thing with the doctor's office. I can't do an affirmation in the doctor's office, because it's public. I said, it wouldn't bother me at all. I would do it, I'm speaking the word of God, and I will do it. I go running down the street praying in tongues, So, but it's something you grow into. As you're filled with the Holy Spirit and as you practice, the boldness comes. And the boldness of Peter in Acts chapter 3, where there's this paralyzed man who begged outside the Gate Beautiful of the temple. And everybody passed him every day, and Jesus must have passed him. But this day, Peter stopped. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then he reached down, grabbed the guy, and he yanked him up. And strength, after he did that, strength came into his legs, and he walked, totally healed. Tremendous miracle. Boldness. So we need to be bold in Jesus, bold to speak his word, bold to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. And that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we'll give you another opportunity again when we pray in tongues, when I teach in tongues. But tonight, if you have the boldness already and the willingness, let me just lead you in a quick prayer. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and for those of you who are not even born again, I'll just throw that in, no extra charge. So, if you would like, just repeat after me. Almighty God, I thank you for Jesus. He took my sins and died for me. You raised them from the dead. I invite Jesus into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. And I ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God now. Spirit of God, fall fresh upon me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I have asked, based on the promises and the scriptures, based on Mark 11:24, and based on Luke 11:9-13. Spirit of God, I thank you that you've fallen fresh on me even right now. I believe I'm filled with the Holy Spirit because I believe I receive when I ask. And so by faith, I open my mouth and I make sounds, any sounds that are not in a language I know. Not English, and not any other language you know. Open your mouth now and make sounds, just as I'm going to do. Thank you, Jesus. And I know some of you who did that would like to continue. And you can continue even as I'm speaking. You can listen and speak in tongues. I have a relative, and when she got filled with the Holy Spirit, all she could do was make clicks. Click, 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 click. And she did that for a long time. I don't know, weeks or months. All she could do was clicks. And everybody thought it was weird. She had never heard anything like that. Well, eventually time goes on, and she and her husband went to Africa on missionary trips to Africa. And guess what? There's a tribe in Africa that speaks in clicks. Tribe in Africa that speaks in clicks. So, God is an amazing God. You know that. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you for joining me in this module. I hope to see you in the next module. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. We are so excited for you. I'll tell you what. We are all taking steps closer and closer to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And sometimes they're steps of boldness because they're very different from anything we've known before. But yet, the Word of God says so. And we know the Word of God is absolute truth. And so that's what we want to follow. And that's our final decision there, our final knowledge, our absolute knowledge through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit always confirms whatever the Word of God says. So they will never contradict each other. If they do, it's a different spirit, not God's Holy Spirit. So praise God, we're excited for you. And we want to seal this wonderful time of teaching and moving forward with God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit by partaking of communion. So let us take a moment to confess any known sins, and then we will come together and participate in communion. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit falling afresh upon each one of us as we now come to accept your invitation to come to the table, the communion table of the body and the blood of Jesus, knowing what the Word of God says, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, "Take this, eat this, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And why was his body broken? So that our bodies would be made whole. It's what I like to call the great exchange. The brokenness, the hurt, the attacks of sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, all of these things that the enemy tries to send against our bodies, and Jesus is saying, "No, I don't want you to have any of that. That's why I'm taking these 39 stripes upon my back for you." He was looking ahead to see, including us. And he knew we'd be here for him. And so he was there for us at the whipping post, taking those 39 stripes to cover all sickness and disease that is listed in 39 categories of modern medicine. And that's all there are. That's all there ever will be. For God knew the end from the beginning, and he took care of everything through the sacrifice of Jesus. So, in this great exchange, we get to partake of the broken body of Jesus in our hands and receive in exchange healing and wholeness for our physical bodies. So let's do that together right now. And give glory to God as we remember that healing belongs to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. After the supper on that same night, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." Number one, a covenant is absolute and it's a forever thing. It's two coming together with the shedding of blood. Jesus shed his blood, and we receive his blood, and we become part of the covenant. Covenant partners with God through Jesus Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice, because of Jesus giving up his everything, his life. He poured it out for us and paid the price for everything that we would ever need for life and for godliness. It's all here for us. He wants us to have it. And so, his one-time sacrifice did away with annual sacrifices. All of our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Past, present, future, known and unknown. And this is a wonderful, wonderful salvation package that Jesus has for us, that he paid for, and now it belongs to us. All we have to do is receive it and every part of it. And so now we come together as one to partake of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we partake of this cup of blessing in Jesus' name.